welcome to another episode of 25 MTS. I'm your host, Jay Mazing. I'm here with the usual cast and characters. We have Matt, Team Sexcopter.
Team Sex.
Greg, not as bad as you.
Hello.
We have Root, Mike Root.
Hey, what's up?
And Kyle Masona.
Hey.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and go into straight details about a couple things that are coming out pretty soon. There's been a couple of exciting things that's been happening this week in League. Let's start off with Rank being down for, like, the weekend, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
In the ever, forever.
Yeah, okay, so basically for those who don't know, and if you don't know, that means you haven't been playing League this week.
You're at your grandma's house, and you can't play League, or else your dad will hit you like he usually does, but even harder.
Yeah, but you could download the podcast, which we appreciate it if that's the case. The rank queue was disabled, and the rank queue has been disabled, was supposed to be disabled for just the weekend. However, they decided to, it's still being disabled, and today is, what, Monday. So it's been a day plus on the weekend. Now, why was the reason they decided to disable the queue, if you remember, Kyle?
Yes, it's because they calculated it incorrectly. When they re-enable it, every player will get about 15 ELO. But also because, if I remember what I read, they didn't reset the wins or losses, so when it comes back up, you should have 0 wins, 0 losses to actually simulate an actual Season 2 instead of, oh look, I still have 300 ranked games played.
Yeah, and an interesting side note, the number of ranked games you play determines how much ELO you get per win. So someone with a bunch of games played would get a very low amount, but me, who only had 20 ranked games played, would still get like 25 ELO per win, and with being only like 100 points below Boy Boy, I was very tempted.
Oh, yeah, that seems good, because what I thought of with the reset would be, like, everyone gets the chance to achieve a high ELO and not be stuck in, I've played 500 games and can only get 15 ELO a game at most. So, you know, everyone gets this chance at the very beginning to get, you know, the 30 ELO. Because personally, when I felt at the beginning of the season, I wasn't ready, so it'd be nice to kind of have that fresh start and be getting that 30 ELO a game, you know, for winning, you know, early on in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. What's been your experience so far with the system before they disabled it, basically?
Oh my gosh, okay. So, I've been talking to a lot of people, and a lot of people are in agreement that the pros shouldn't play ranked right now. We should just let the scrubs just, like, decide it, like, fall where they will. And let them lose all their games, because okay, so I played two ranked games after the reset, and I haven't seen people that bad since like over a year in my ranked games, and I was just like, really, you're gonna have me versus like legit like 1200s and legit 1200s on my team, and you got people like Big Fat GG versus legit 1200 players. I'm like, how is this fair to them? Like, what's their chance? Man, Root, fucking. Okay, so Riot really messed up. Sorry.
But okay, so the people who, like, myself, who are, like, in ELO hell, like, this is, like, the opportunity to play with people who are, like, not as horrible as the people who I was playing with before.
So here's the other side of it. Like, on Smurfs and stuff, I was totally playing. Like, I'm down to play right now. Now is the time when to make huge gains. Because you're going to risk going against scrubs and bad players, so you're gonna win a lot of games. Because you're used to having bad people in your games. But if you're a legit good player, then it's going to be really hard. Because you're going to have a lot of bad players in your game. You're just going to get frustrated, really.
So basically what he's saying is the pros can't play nice with these people who are just not playing the same game as them, pretty much.
Like, okay, here's the thing. So the pros being, like, higher up a couple hundred points extra, like, okay, that's expected. They're supposed to be, like, kind of in their own bracket doing their own thing. But it shouldn't be so unreachable by the everyday average player that they just, like, well, I'll never be one of the best players. I'll never get to the top. So they just become hella discouraged and just stop playing League altogether. Because the whole thing with League right now is, like, so you learn to play the game, right? You get to 30, and it probably takes you a couple of hundred games, if not a thousand some odd games, to really learn how to play this game and learn how to play it correctly. And there's people who are still learning. But the whole reason they're learning is because they want to be one of those players who's up there or is considered a good player.
Well, from my experience from Season 1, and especially since the cast kind of goes like bronze, silver, gold, platinum, like that, that's why we have one of you, yeah. Is that the ELO brackets are like different rooms on that tower that, like, Bruce Lee had to fight, and you just exist on your floor, and your floor is what it is. It has its meta, it has its bottom and its top, and it has its people, and that's what it's all about. Like, Silver Elo is a place where I played. I know about Silver Elo, and it's different, and once you get to the point where you're at the top, and you're the one carrying your teams, you might break into the next level, and then the game changes. When you're talking about Elo Hell, is just the part where you're stuck with...
I'm on the bottom floor, yes, absolutely.
You're stuck in with the heavy carries. You have to pick these people up. But at the same time, you just have to become a rock star of, like, win the game by yourself to go to the next level before people start, you know, buying wards and playing positions.
Yeah, thank you for quoting the Game of Death, by the way. I mean, talking about it. But definitely, man, everyone has a breaking point, I think, in this game. There's a skill level. Like, for me, it was around 800 normal wins where something just kind of clicked, and I was like, wow, I'm pretty good at this game. And I think a lot of people don't get that if they don't have high elo friends. They don't have people telling them what they're doing is wrong and they're bad, because a lot of time it's just going to take someone who has a legit rating and that's like plat or something to tell them that they're doing this bad, and if they're not trolling, they'll start believing, and then they'll start questioning things like, should I really dive this tower? I don't have any wards here. Should I really go in this bush? There's no wards. And a lot of those things start leaving your head, and you start watching streams and just improving over time. And I think anybody can raise elo if they really just focus on training and not just wasting games. You have to just practice and try and do good.
Dude, Greg, what do you think about the okay, so in, to go back to the Game of Death, okay, so there's certain levels, and you know what, I can agree. When I play range fire with you guys, like, you're like, wow, Jamal, you're not doing horrible. It's like, yeah, because you guys aren't losing your lane and I don't have to do everything. I just can focus on my lane and I'll be okay, and like, I don't have to worry about just insta losing. So it's like, Do you feel like that's the case? Like, where there's different levels of ELO. There's people in certain rooms that these rooms shouldn't mix. Should there be no mixing, Greg?
Well, what I thought for the reset, it should be something like everyone in their rooms would be given a chance to qualify within their rooms and have different ranking or ratings within inside of their rooms. As opposed to having Boy Boy be a bronze level player, keep him in platinum, but give them placement matches. I was thinking StarCraft 2. Give them placement matches so they place within platinum, they place within gold, they place within silver, they place within bronze.
I just don't think that you should just go over one level. Like, sure, I could see a game that's like 2 plats and 3 golds. That's fine. But I don't think, like, platinums should be playing with bronzes. Like, it's just...
I agree with that.
I mean, like, I think I could play with bronzes, and I could play with platinums, but usually, like, as a silver, playing with a platinum, you, like, right now, like, playing normal QELO, all the ratings are really high, I go to these draft modes in normals, and I get obliterated by this person. I'm like, that is the most ridiculous misfortune I've ever seen. Then I get out there, platinum player. Like, they just, like, with no impunity, just are destroying everyone on my team.
But you know, oh, that's actually a good segue. So since they've had the rank games down, they've been doing normal draft queues. So, I've seen some really good games, I've been in some really interesting games, and I've seen some really bad games as well. So, for instance, on stream, I was watching, me and Greg were watching a stream earlier today that had Dan Din on it, and there were about 8 named players, like 8 really good players, and 4 people, like 2 other people who I've never heard of. But it was like, you had, who was it? Oh, it was like
Dan Din. You had like 3 people from CRS, you had...
Yeah.
So it was like Dan Din, Double Lip, Mapaka,
Gigi's girlfriend,
Scara?
Scara
was in it, then Riona, and it was like, random person I never heard of. Other random person I never heard of. And
that's how it is, yeah. I mean, you have to break into high elo, you need to make friends, and start winning games, because all the high elo players, if you're mean in game, and you just talk smack because you suddenly hit 1700 and you think you're really good at the game, and you start playing really bad and talking smack to people, you're just going to get trolled and elo policed. But, I mean, if you make friends and you win games, you'll be accepted into high elo, but if you don't, you're just going to be forced to lose elo.
I usually just don't really type in ranked games unless it has to do with, like, a tactical thing, because sometimes you just have those good games where everything goes well, and sometimes someone's like, I'm solo top mundo, and you are going to lose this game.
I mean, yeah.
You just can't engage.
Well, how's everybody's impression been of the normal game draft?
It's like playing ranked without the sickening feeling of human self-hatred that comes with losing a ranked game. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, the games I've gotten into that haven't been dodged have been fun. I mean, my team just doesn't know how to pick, but normals are not for tryharding. Normals are just for messing around. So I think it's super fun.
I think being able to draft and, like, see what's coming and actually try legitimate strategies instead of being like, we're going to do this Katarina build. Oh, shit, they have 4 stuns. We just auto-lose.
Yeah, what I really liked about it is it seemed to fix my biggest problem with normals, where I have a teammate that wants to practice Singed, and we go in a queue. Oh, look, there's a Garen on the other team. Or, you know, sort of those very, like, gross mismatches or lane mismatches don't occur as often, or at least you have a chance to avoid them. Like, today we had someone get hardcore. Oh, they picked Singed, and, like, the team had a Garen, and they weren't.
If you, like, pick Brand, and their team is a Morgana.
Oh, God, I shadow about this Brand so hard.
That matchup isn't actually that bad for Brand, but there's definitely matchups that are just close, about as close to unwinnable as you could get. And it's fun to not have to deal with that kind of bringing down a gaming experience, because I've definitely experienced that. We're like, oh, we're, like, equal skill level, like, everyone in the game's equal skill level. It's just that there's no chance in this, you know, Tara Caitlyn's gonna destroy this X whatever lane, you know. I like not having to deal with that. That
was, X
like,
whatever
favorite
lane.
Part about normal was losing games just to team comps.
Yeah, this game's a lot easier when there's bans and picks. That's a huge part of the game. And you, I mean, you can't train for ranks in normal games, but now that you have draft mode, you can. Because you have all these people who haven't even played ranked games. They're experiencing draft mode for the first time. It's pretty awesome. I hope they keep it.
That was actually what I was going to say next. I actually do hope they keep it, because I think you make a very good point. The fact that you have people who are like, oh, well, it's in the middle of Season 1 or near the end of Season 1. I have no desire to want to play because I see this guy over here and he's pulling his hair out and screaming something about ELO hell. Then I see this guy over here and he's like winning and not even trying. I don't know where I will end up at. If I lose more than a couple of games, then I have to grind. So I don't want to play Season 1. I'm just going to wait for Season 2. And this is giving people a chance to experience how it is to draft and how it is to, like, talk to your team and, like, we're going to do this ban. We're going to do that ban. We're going to try this team comp. We're going to try that team comp and actually have a plan going into it.
One of the most interesting things I've seen is with Sword. I've been playing a lot of these games with kids at our store who, you know, may be unranked or, you know, have low rankings. I'm not, like, some high ranking, but I've seen so many different bans that I haven't, like, complained about. I've seen everything. You know, I've seen Gangplank Nocturne, Amumu banned. I've seen Orianna Morgana Brand banned. I've seen, well, I like banning Caitlyn right now.
Dear God, I hate that character.
I like first picking Caitlyn right now.
So, but that's been cool to sort of see some of these things that you wouldn't normally see in ranked games, these different bans, these different picks, and people aren't really, oh my God, you know, you let the other team get Orianna, the game's over. It's a lot more lax, but it's still got enough competitiveness to it that people are willing to try.
Well, people like to win, and when you get a game that starts with a draft queue, it's a bit of a difference. You can't just cop out, like, oh, they just have this, GG for me. You know, you have like, well, you picked this, like, you thought I could beat it, and you get that thing where it's like, I specifically picked Misfortune because this bottom lane has a Soraka, so I'm gonna, like, really try to cancel these deals and, like, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I got to go solo mid Tristana today because most of the time I feel horrible about that, but the other team, their only option mid was Lux or something like that. So I was like, oh, sweet, I get to actually go mid with an AD carry, which I haven't done in forever. So I got to do that today.
I got to solo mid Cassidy because they're mid.
I mean, I guess the most useful thing that it does is it teaches the current metagame to people.
What is the current metagame, Rude?
Well,
I can't find it.
You can't ask me that question, but we're still kind of on the Euro-US meta. I can't mention too much more, but it's changing.
I've been seeing double support super carry, and I've also been seeing, like, this Gragas cannot die / this character cannot die meta.
Yeah.
But just to kind of end it off about the normal game, I actually do hope they keep it in. I think it's been really fun. I have to agree with Greg where, like, I'm seeing different team comps. I'm seeing way more creative picks in normal draft queue than I see in regular draft. like, any day. Like, there's certain characters who are like, oh, well, that character's just bad, or that character's just good, or that character's just bad. You have to play this character. Oh, Amumu's available. You have to play Amumu. Oh, Orianna's available. You have to play Orianna. People are like, well, I'm good with this character. I know how to play this character really strongly. I know this character counters that character top, or whatever the case might be. You're getting some really creative, like, really creative team.
I think it's really exciting, too, when you're, like, fourth or fifth pick. Let's say a lot of people are like, oh, I like first pick, which is fine. But when you're playing against a team and they pick, like, a lot of flashy, flighty characters, but really squishy, and you're like, oh, I get to, like, play a Kali and, like, really dominate in a game where, like, if there was, like, a Lee Sin in there, like, something normally, that if just randomly popped up in normal, you would just be shut down. You get, like, those moments where that the Veigar, like, becomes viable for, like, 12 seconds, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can play Veigar, and it is
all right, there's a special, like, place in hell reserved for people who build Gnasher's Tooth on Teemo and people who play Veigar. Just putting it out there. Sorry for those of you that are going to hell, and that's the ring of hell you're going to.
But I love Veigar.
See you there, Root. What you were talking about... I just lost my thought. You were talking about
characters being viable in certain.
Oh, ways. I got to play Shaco today. Shaco. Clown. Demon Jester.
He's awesome.
Send him right now. It's 25. Yes. Is it spelled Shaco like Shaquille or like Shaq? Is it spelled Shaco like
not
Wake
what
and Bagel?
Or
not spelled. It sounded like.
You don't need to yell. It's like.
Or is it Shaco like Taco?
I think it's Shaco.
Like Taco. I think it's Shaco like Shaco.
Whose elo is highest?
Wait, who says Shaco?
He says Shaco.
I say Shaco.
He says Shaco, and we say Shaco.
I think it's Shaco.
I definitely think it's Shaco.
Who says Shaco? I've never heard anyone say Shaco.
Like Chuck Pesta.
That's what Root does. He says Shaco. Like
he's Hawaiian, so that doesn't count.
But Greg says Shaco.
Well, he's from NorCal, so
I'm almost positive I've heard Freak say Shaco.
I'm pretty sure it's Shaco. But yeah.
Freak actually doesn't know anything, though.
I wouldn't say he's necessarily the authority on pronunciation, but that's another story.
But yeah, I was just saying, like, yeah. It was exciting for me to be able to pick him and not, you know, worry about the other, like, they had an Amumu, they had an Udyr. An Udyr is just the worst, so I got to destroy this Udyr in the jungle of Shaco.
Kyle, what are your thoughts?
I rape Shakos.
I'll see you in the jungle, buddy.
Yeah. But no, I have to agree. I got to play Galeo against a brand and Morgana against a brand. And
Galeo. It's I-O, not E-O.
Galeo.
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 I need to talk to Riot headquarters and ask them for the... They need to phonetically spell every name. This is ridiculous.
They do it on a wiki.
I heard someone say the other day, Kaylee. Who's ever heard Kaylee? Hale.
I actually
what about Akali?
It's a Kali.
Okay,
I've heard that.
Okay, so to be fair, I actually say Kaylee.
It's K-A-Y-L-E.
Here's another one. Tarik.
Tariq. It's Tariq. It's actually Tariq. Just Tariq. Tariq. People don't believe
that
me, but it's Tariq.
Udyr? Udyr?
Udyr?
I like Udyr, personally.
Udyr?
Nidalee?
Malzahar? Malzahar?
I think Malzahar is Malzahar.
I'm pretty sure you can't go wrong.
You can't
really mess up A's and H's.
But we're going to go move on to the next thing. So, there's Dominion is coming out. So,
Riven.
Who?
Cho'Gath.
So, on to Dominion.
Warwick.
So, Dominion is coming out. Kyle, you know the most about Dominion. Can you give us a little bit of background information on that?
Sure. There's a lot of information on it, though. The biggest one is probably that the average game is 15 to 20 minutes, so for those of you who want a short game but don't want to push the tree line, this is for you. The most noticeable change is probably that everybody starts at level 3 with 1375, that's 1,375 gold.
So you can start off with basically, what's the
Catalyst.
But what's the other one to start off with?
No, you can't start off with Brutalizer. Brutalizer costs 1,377.
No, it
costs
1,337.
Yeah, it costs 1,337.
Oh, it costs
Leet.
That's my elo right now.
Brutalizer is not as effective because the map also has an aura of 15% armor pen and 5% magic pen. That means every character has those.
What?
So base damage is king.
It's the official rationale or justification is that armor is cheap for its effectiveness in Summoner's Rift, and especially in a game where it's going to be high damage, very short, more action-oriented, they didn't want people building armor and dragging it out. They tried to balance the cost of armor and damage so it'll be just as effective, and the only way to do that was to create a map aura.
I bet you so many characters in Dominion are going to build, like...
Catalyst.
No, not Catalyst, the other one, the Gulper 5 one.
But Catalyst is also not as good, because there is a 20% healing reduction on the entire map as well.
What's the other one, the Gulper
5 one? So, but I still get 3, however much health and mana, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not sure on the details. I don't know if it applies to that. I just don't know. It says it stacks additively with other healing reduction effects, so I'm guessing it functions like you're ignited.
Well, let me go over a couple of the stats.
Yeah. Philo Stone.
So I'm looking at those League of Legends. So you can go look at these stats yourself as well. It's LeagueofLegends.wikia.com/wiki/Dominion. It's saying that the main map differences are the Dominion game mode will allow for a fast-paced match of 15 to 20 minutes, involves many small skirmishes.
Yeah, that's everything he just said.
Well, the main differences are these things right here, right? The 15 armor pin, the 5 magic penetration, the 20% healing reduction, a mana regen bonus, and a fixed experience gained over time.
Oh, that's sweet. So, like, you just don't get... You can roam, I guess, a little bit more effectively, because I think roaming is something that they would like to encourage on that map. They want people to be able to run around headbutting people.
How are they going to possibly balance a character like Garen, who with 3 spells becomes ridiculous, has no mana, nothing to work out, could walk around the map, gets this armor pen buff, and then his shield is a percentage-based damage?
The armor pen also applies to him, though.
Sure, but so they're silenced and getting judgmented on, and he's not.
Oh, so I guess that brings up a good point that we were talking about before the show started in our little pregame, is what characters do we think are going to be the best on
Dominion?
Thinking that in Dominion, characters that start with...
All 3 of their skills. They start with all 3 of their skills, and now they're only going to start with all 3 of their
skills. They start at level 3, they start with 1,375 gold.
So
what characters... Yeah, I mean, what, that's Razor and Boots.
Yeah, so that's like...
That's Razor and Boots.
Yeah, so that's Razor...
So Razor, Boots, and then about 300 gold left.
Yeah, so that's Razor and Boots.
Oh, no, I
can't. No. It's like, it's 25 gold left.
Yeah, but, so the items that it starts, basically, so with that amount of gold, you're looking at what? Catalyst, you're looking at starting off Brutalizer, you're looking at starting off...
Two Dorne's items?
I read something about that. I think Dorne's items were repurposed. I'm pretty sure they don't exist in Dominion, or they exist in a modified format.
Oh, well, I guess that just throws that out the window.
Yeah. Root, have you had any chance to either play Dominion, or, like, know anybody who's played Dominion?
No, but, man, mana manipulators look really awesome. Can you run to towers, like 2 towers, mana manipulators?
So they don't have numbers on the wiki, but I was watching the live streams, and Freak mentioned that the mana regeneration bonus is about equivalent to a chalice. So every character has a chalice for free.
Wow. Well, never mind that idea.
Yeah, I guess you get to start with a blasting wand and an amplifying tome, too. You could start with a sheen, you could start with a zeal.
Oh, you could start with a sheen? Wow, 5 sheens would be really strong. How far apart are the towers from each other?
They're relatively shorter than the distance between one tower in the other in Summoner's Rift. Probably difference between the base tower and then the mid tower. But they're positioned, you know, there are 5 of them positioned in a star shape. Distance between the bottom left and the top right one is noticeable.
So, let's have a little bit of discussion about it, but a little bit of information that we do know about Dominion. From the streams, and I think, Kyle, you mentioned this as well, you were saying that stealth characters seem really, really good, like Twitch and Shaco, they seem really good on this map.
What I actually said is I perceived stealth characters to be weak on this map, because...
Didn't you say you saw a Twitch go off or something?
Yes. During the live streams, when the Twitches went 44-9 or 44-10 and possibly won the game for his team, which is why, even though I thought stealth would be bad, every character I thought was bad that was played during the live streams did fairly well. Even Sona, because by herself, she's able to keep 2 people off tower by herself and stay out of their range.
That's interesting. I mean, hopefully this map does not go the way of... Well, let's talk more about what people think about the map. Are you going to be excited to play Dominion when it comes out, Matt?
For those of our listeners who don't know Dominion at all, It's capture point map. It's not destroy the Nexus. There are 5 towers, and you have to capture them in order to win. As they're captured, the other team's Nexus loses life, and when one Nexus reaches 0, it's destroyed. And you have to capture a tower, you have to essentially attack the tower, for lack of a better word. But while you're doing that, you can't do anything else. You can't move, you can't attack other champions, or else it breaks your control, your attack of the tower.
So wait a minute, is this kind of like a Wraithy Basin in World of Warcraft?
I don't play WoW.
It sounds similar. The thing that I'm picking up from this, besides all the fact that damage is more damagey and people are going to have their mana, is that the people who can defend towers the best are going to seem like they're really powerful. Like, characters that are just like, you cannot stand here unless you've worked.
You shall not pass.
Part of the way they balance that is there are quests. And I heard 3, I heard 5 minutes, I'd never gotten an exact number, a quest will appear. And what that means is one tower controlled by each team will be marked, and the goal for any team is to capture the opposing tower. If they do, if team bottom left captures their tower, the bottom right team loses some amount of HP from their Nexus. All of the players on the team that completed their quest get a buff equivalent to Baron, I think. And they also get something else that I cannot remember at the moment.
So wait a minute, so there's not going to be a Baron and Dragon on the map, there's just going to be these mini-quests.
Correct, but there will also be, what are they called? There will also be other buffs. There are health buffs across the map, where they spawn every X seconds, and if you pick it up, it'll heal you a little bit, a few hundred. Probably based on level, I never got exact numbers, but it looked to be noticeable. There are also greater relics, which spawn in the middle of the map, one for each team. They give you damage and a shield and something else, but they're very good. And then there are also speed shrines, where whenever any champion walks near it, they get a speed boost temporarily.
From what I'm getting, and I've watched a few of the live streams, the thing about level 3 compared to level 1 is everybody right now knows, like, just by looking at team comps and the loading screen, if they have a good level 1 for, like, invading...
A level 3? You mean a good level 3?
No, not Dominion. I'm saying, like, in regular games right now. He's like, oh, we can probably invade at level 1. Look at their team. Look at our team. Level 3 is a little bit different. I think what Dominion's trying to do is just make the game constantly one gigantic team fight the whole time.
It's actually the exact opposite. It's not one gigantic team fight. Dominion focuses on small skirmishes, 1v1, 2v1, 2v2. Because everybody is going to be moving, trying to capture different points, trying to defend their own. It rarely will be grouped as 5 because it's disadvantageous to your team.
Is there like a tower to hide under, like in laning?
But if a tower is being captured, it stops attacking.
Okay.
So it sounds like a Wraith of Ace. Like, for those who play WoW, it sounds like AB.
5 here, 5 here, 5 here, like that type of deal. 2 on this one, 2 on this one.
Yeah, right. And like, basically, if that's the case, do you play WoW?
No, but this makes me want to have, like, 4 roamers and one guy that just camps the middle one.
I feel like there might be certain positions that might come from this, where, like, insanely mobile characters who can get away from, like, attacks are running around at specific points.
Like Kinnan?
Like, questing. They're like, we need you to play this character because you can get across the map and quest for us.
I actually can see how Shaco's just not an auto-ban. I mean, I don't know if you get bans, but how do you beat Shaco on a map where, like, places on the map are important, where he can capture a point with Jack in the Boxes surrounding it?
Oh, absolutely. Or Teemo, who can, like, put hella mushrooms.
I mean, like, but that's not to level 6. Shaco can start putting down
boxes. You start at level 3.
Okay, but, like...
Shaco starts with trap level 2 and C. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be the best character on the map when it comes out.
I hope this map does not go the way of, like, Twisted.
And he gets a Sheen? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets a Sheen.
He starts off with Jack in the Box and Sheen. Or, if you're AP Shaco, he starts off with Blasting Wand Boots.
Or you can get Blasting Wand Amp Tome and have 60 AP with, 5% pen built in?
10-15%.
All right, whatever.
Magic pen is 5.
Oh, 5.
Yeah, Magic pen is 5, Armor pen is 15.
Yeah. Oh, Annie seems kind of sweet, I guess. Question mark.
Yeah.
Dominion just sounds awesome. I just don't want to lose my first game on it because I'm going to be really sad.
I just want to get promote.
They're bringing
something.
Back promote, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So is it promote just for Dominion or for
Dominion?
Just for Dominion. It only affects melee minions, but there's only one melee minion per wave, which kind of balances out.
What's the What's the other summoner spell that's only Dominion as well?
There is not. Garrison instead of Fortify. Garrison you can use on either your towers or the enemies. If you use it on your towers, it's like Fortify. It makes it attack faster. I believe it does splash damage if you get the mastery. If you use it on enemy towers, it weakens it. I think it makes it attack slower. I'm not sure on the numbers because they don't have them posted.
Either way, are these games 5v5 as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds horrible.
So, the Google says, Age of Empires said, Garrison refers to the act of placing units into one structure. So that's kind
of
interesting.
That is the definition of Garrison, thank you.
Thank you for Googling.
I'm not, so now,
what a beautiful sure Googly.
I'm pretty sure that anyone listening to a podcast has access to Google, but now they don't have to.
That's what the Google says, just saying.
One of the interesting things to note is that Promote was actually a spell in League of Legends, like a summoner spell, that promoted a unit to a super minion.
It was stronger than a super minion, right?
No, it wasn't stronger than a super minion, but you got the gold for what it killed. So level one, and it scaled, but it was still very, very powerful. They took it out of the game, so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the level three scaling, as well as, you know, having this really, that was considered previously overpowered ability, kind of fit into the whole metagame of Dominion.
Didn't they take it out before because it used to be able to mob stack as well?
Yeah, well, I was level 30 when they were still Promote, and I remember a lot of games, like 15 before they took them out, where everyone just got Promote, and we were like, hey, let's just promote our whole wave and take tower. Cool, we just pushed mid all the way in. Why is this unit in the game?
The metagame was five people promote mid lane.
I heard like five promote, five smite, so you take out their first creep wave and have five super.
Whoever has more rallies and promotes win.
What I'm going to be really interested in seeing is how Flash is going to be like affected with the Dominion metagame. Because with the lack of like really, really like distinct jungle walls to jump over and like kind of the way that Summoner Rift works, there's a lot of ways to escape, especially, I mean, even TTL. There's tons of ways that Flash can be used to gank really effectively. I don't think that's going to be the same in Dominion. So it's going to be interesting to see if, like, Ghost is the new OP, or, like, something like that.
Well, I'd imagine Flash not being very good because mobile characters will have very high priority, and it's very small, and because of the cooldown on Flash. That's very.
I think it's because there's not as many walls, so you can't go over walls. So, I mean, blinks aren't going to be as good, I guess. There's no walls, right? Verified?
There are walls, but they're very...
They're less prevalent.
And they're few. So, yeah.
They're not the main contention points. So, like, if you're fighting over, a place, like, one of the places of power, control points, victory points, whatever they're called, it's not, like, they're not around that.
Yeah, that's going to make Flash weak. I mean, like, a Nivea wall is going to be really hard. We should talk about mine and J-Mazing's Elo Hell experience.
Okay, before we get to that, there's a couple things I've
been thinking. Or we can talk about your personal life.
Yeah.
U.S. versus Canada. It was the U.S. versus Canada match that recently happened not too long ago.
Recently happened not too long ago?
Yeah. I think that works. Recently happened not too long ago. But anyway, so you were saying that you were watching a bit of that. What is your overall view so far?
Everyone's about the same skill level at that level. I don't think the ceiling's hit, but no one's perfect. But really interesting, and it's funny to see the number one jungle title keep changing hands. So,
because that's just cool. Like the rank scene in the tournament scene in general is the odd one. Talked about this on his vlog for Team Solo Mid. He was like, it seems like every week there's a different best jungler. And
best jungle character or best jungle player?
Jungle player. So like it's pretty close between Oddone and Saint Vicious.
It's Oddone, Saint Vicious, and Dandin. Like Dandin, they fluctuate, they trade. I don't even know who Rock Solids is. I don't.
Who jungles? Yeah,
Lapaka. Lapaka is like considered super good.
Lapaka. Yeah.
Just rapes.
Root, you're a top lane player, right?
I play any lane. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
I just ask them what they want to do, and then.
So you're just bad at everything, or do you have a best lane? Can you, like, hike up your skirt and tell us what you
I prefer mid.
You're mid, so you play AP casters best?
No, he plays singed mid.
He plays singed mid.
Play any character.
That's dirty. I like it.
But yeah, Lapaka is really good.
How sick are your ganks?
my ganks are so sick.
No one pulls them off like Root. Let me tell you, Dyrus is jelly.
I played a Singe game today, and there was this Kog'Maw who just kept getting flashed flung. It's so miserable.
Kog'Maw is one of the best characters in the game right now. So that, and he beats Singe, so
He would beat Singed if he had an escape, but my team made quick work of him after I threw him away.
Wait, so we didn't even get to talk about the characters we've been playing recently?
Yeah, let's go. Well, okay, well, before we go into the characters we're playing, because we're in the off the show. With the
okay, that's fine.
I do want to say a couple things about so the U.S.-Canada match. So for those who don't know, come the next WCG, right? Come the next WCG, they are splitting up. They're setting up the teams in regards to regions, meaning that
not regions.
Is it? It's not. Is it
it's it's country.
Is it straight countries or is it regions?
Well,
I guess they're still regions.
Though. Well, but it's like Canada versus USA.
Yeah, so I guess it is countries.
And it's not like
North America region.
Yeah, it's not like North America or like you know, Northern California versus Southern California. We'd win, by the way. But yeah.
Okay, so so it's countries. So because it's countries, that means that CLG, which is made of Canadian players and U.S. players, are kind of splitting in two.
As more like Chaucer's playing on Team Solo Mid.
I think it's about, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Because Saint Vicious doesn't get to play for America.
Why not?
Because Dan Din is Reginald's brother and Reginald's the team captain.
So,
and okay. Dyrus is playing instead of,
So wait, what's the lineups, do you know?
I know USA is Reginald, Dyrus, Reginald, Dyrus, Xspecial, Dan Din, and what was the last one?
Probably the odd one of Saint Vicious.
No, not, no,
Chalks?
Who?
Chalks?
No. It's Dyrus's top, Reginald's mid, Chaucer and Xspecial are bot, and Dandin's in the jungle.
Okay. And who's going for Canada?
Top is Hotshot, mid is Big Fat LP, jungling is the odd one, bot lane is, Chowx,
and probably Elements.
And Elements. It's really just like watching, like, interbred CLG versus Team
Yeah, USA should win that. But, yeah, shout-outs to Dyrus, who's moving from Hawaii on October 7th to be with the solo mid house. Pretty really? Sure that's
But they'll live secret. Together?
Wait, his
yeah, they're all going to live okay. together, and he's going to stream, and it's going to be his career. So, yeah, oh, wow. Good luck
Please
with that.
Watch his videos so that this poor kid doesn't.
Like,
doesn't get stranded
just
in New York.
His streams on. It counts the ads. He needs the money. He's a great league player.
Yeah,
he's a really nice guy. Good, yeah. good.
Person. I thought they were gonna move to the Bay, but I think they're gonna move to like New York or somewhere East Coast.
You're right. I know Reginald's living with Chowx right now.
Really?
Because I follow Team Solomon's blogs. It's really
life.
Cool. Well, they just blog about whatever's going on, and they've been mentioning a lot about, you know, I think they just found a house. I don't know who's sponsoring it, though. They're just paying out
a fund. No, I think it's, I realized this, so after the last tournament, I've noticed that St. Vicious' stream, Hotshot stream, and someone else's stream, they are sponsored by Razer Mouse.
Oh, that's been going on for a little
while. Yeah, they've been sponsored by them. I mean, EG was sponsored by Razer, too.
Yeah, EG is sponsored by Razer, but Boy is also sponsored by, like, three or four companies now. Like
Boy,
yeah.
He hit number one.
He's
on and rock solid.
Speaking of that, I beat Boy like about 2 weeks ago. Top lane is Singed versus Zergot. Got two kills and took his tower. So I was like, yes, and he was number one. So screw you guys.
I'll make sure to let him know next time I see him.
You should tell him that Singed to beat Zergot top lane.
Boy Boy's pretty chill.
No, Boy Boy's a good guy. But so it's pretty
Just
interesting.
A child.
It's pretty interesting, actually, that you bring up the fact that there's people, like, moving into houses together,
like
do you
us?
It's gonna make...
I mean, Dyrus was on Team All or Nothing.
I moved into his house, we podcast every week. It's just like a winter wonderland. It's awesome.
Winter wonderland.
Winter These guys have been playing since the beginning.
Yeah, raining white stuff all the time.
That is absolutely horrible.
I noticed you guys were getting close, but yeah. This is...
Just to clarify, he lives with me, not
the other. Wait, I pay rent. I live where I please. Exactly. Anyway, but nothing off the subject. So, do you think that with the teams starting to move in together, starting to play more constantly, starting to have those constant teams, that the competitive scene is going to become more competitive?
Well, it's I mean,
because like
League of Legends right now is going to be the big, like, $5 million, right, for the season 2. That's how much the prize pool is going to be. Right
yes.
now, it's just like the biggest. Esport game there is. Like, there's not that much money in StarCraft.
Yeah.
At least not in the U.S.
No, well, like, they have, like, a tournament every month in Korea, in South Korea for,
100,000.
So that's 1.2 million. I mean, even if you do, like, even if you multiply it, right, and you say, like, okay, well, maybe they give out another, you know, 100,000 per month, that's like 2 million a year, that's 20, you know, 2.4 million a year. League is putting up 5 million.
And that's real money.
That's a lot, that's the most money in any esport right now. So, League's, you know, it's in my eyes, it really, like, I said something like this, like, last season, I was like, I could see them putting some real money into this game, and that's what they did. Like, they're going to have these houses.
I think, actually, your exact quote was, you know what, maybe next year they'll put up about, I think you said 2 million, and I think we all doubted you. So, for anybody who, and I can't remember the exact episode.
Oh, yeah, even Dean was like, oh, that's just insane.
Yeah.
I was like, why not? And you know, they put up more than what I thought. I was like, man, that, and it's 2, yeah, I think I even called the number. I said, like, 2 million for first place. That's a lot of money.
But these pro teams should realize that they're really, like, the lifeblood of what makes League so great. Like, these pro games are really exciting to watch. You know,
I would totally disagree with what you're saying, but to continue.
They stream and all this stuff, and I would just really hate to see, like, Dota 2 coming out and, like, a whole big falling out.
It's not going
to
happen.
They would have
They'll be fine. They already did so much work on League of Legends, but I think what the high ELO people who stream and get 6,000 viewers really need to do is start acting like role models, like real role models. Like, you can't act like a little kid on stream and argue with people. Just be a role model.
But at the same time, some of the people watch certain streams just to watch them troll and rage. Like, some people watch Hot Shots.
Like Grokkus. I mean, people are going to watch Grokkus just to laugh because he's so terrible. But people legitimately look up to Hot Shots GG, and there's, like, so many people that think he's the best player in the world, and some people think Chouster is, and GG, and Dyrus, and
Root.
No.
Don't take that away from me.
Like, I just feel that they need to not do anything dumb and lose sponsorships, because it's going to hurt esports. Esports business.
I was going to say, you know, the lifeblood of this game is that it's a free game that comes out with new characters every week. That's what, like, is the real thing driving this game. But the thing that makes this game, is going to, like, push this game to the next level, it's going to push esports to the next level, is these high ELO. Like, what is this tournament going to look like next year? Because it's going to be way different than what it was this year. You know, do you think these little technical difficulties are going to happen when there's $2 million on the line between first and second place? You know, like, I remember watching the DreamHack finals, right, the IEM between CLG and TSM, and at the very end of the last game, like, the game, like, fell out. Like, granted, like, CLG was pushing to Nexus, but it fell out right then. That can't happen in, you know, a $2 million game. This game is going to become, it has to become so good in order to justify it having this much of a legitimate prize pool. And, you know, what the hook is, it's free. You know, what'll keep you coming is that it's really addictive gameplay. You have this community building. You know, I really like Team Solo Mid because of their video, the vlogs they're doing. It, you know, even though Reginald has sort of this, you know, kind of can be come across as childish, he's trying to, like, you know, go into the community. You know, and with football season starting right now, think about, like, oh, what do pro players do? They do all these community, you know, granted it's more for their cities or whatever, but it's still community oriented. When your community's online, what do you do for your online community? You make these videos, you describe to, you know, the people what's going on with your team, what you're trying to do for esports. I really like what Team Solo Mid's doing, and I believe we're going to see this with all the other teams, too.
Absolutely. Like, I'm a big, like, if I had to pick a team that I'm the biggest fan of, it's probably Epic Gamer. Like, I would say Danden's one of my favorite players. And it's because he always comes off as super nice.
And you have a man crush on him.
Exactly.
I have a man crush on Westrice, because whenever I put his build on my characters, it just fits really well for me.
I have a crush on his mom? Question mark?
No, I agree with what you're saying, Jamal. Like,
thank you for your builds. Keep making
it for
every character I play, because you really fits him.
Go ahead, Ru.
First thing is, pros don't boast, is the thing, because something my brothers taught me was, like, no matter how good you are at something, if you, you know, brag about it, it just makes it whack. It doesn't matter. What you need to do is just help people and teach them how to get better, because all of this egotistical stuff, it doesn't belong anywhere. If we're going to become, like, a professional esport, that comes later after people get huge contracts, but you got to get those contracts first before you start.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick question before we, because I want to actually move on to the last thing for the day, but before we leave off of this, how much of the people who do the live stream pretty often, how much of that is becoming a personality and putting on a show, and how much of that do you think is truly them? Because I think, like, for instance, Reginald. Like, when Reginald first came out, people were watching stuff, you know, aggressive Reginald never backs and stuff like that. And he became kind of like almost a caricature. How much of that do you think is that's 100% who he is, or he's now playing this role to entertain?
Oh, that's...
He plays that role so hard. Oh, my God.
No, that's just who he is. I mean, the caster's job is to be entertaining, right? And if you're just having a stream playing music in the background and you're not explaining what's going on or being entertaining, then there's no reason to watch you. They can watch, like, 50 other streams. So, yeah, I mean, be entertaining and teach people, and that's how you're going to get viewers.
Okay, but even if, like, Reginald is, like, he is a really aggressive player, I think it's, like, the worst part about his playstyle, because he does a lot of other things great, but, you know, the thing that always messes him up is he goes in a little too hard. But, you know, when you watch, it's just like watching someone on TV, you know, just because you watch Charlie Sheen on, you know, okay, well.
On Entertainment Tonight, well, he's banging 7 grand rocks a day, you know, that's
well, okay, but you know what I'm saying, like, you watch someone on TV, it's the same thing as watching them on a live stream. Granted, it may be a little bit more real, but still, you know, just like watching a professional
or like
a sports play or a reality TV, you're going to get a perception. And, you know, Reginald knows he kind of has this, like, little identity going with him. Just like Hotshot, you know, you can tell he's got, you know, he knows he has this huge following. It's not who they are, you know, but the players that they are, the personalities that they are, you know, that's different than, you know, who they actually are, you know. When it's all said and done, you know, we all go to bed at night. I mean... Well, or, you know, you start streaming at night, but, you know, we're all humans, and, you know, what we see from a stream isn't going to tell us everything about him.
Yeah, but I think in Reginald's case, from personal, from people telling me personally, that's really just how he is. If you watch, if you watch the Ultimate Fighter, the UFC thing where they have, like, the fighters get together, and it's kind of like Survivor. Absolutely. And one guy gets a contract at the end, they always pick, like, three guys who drink a lot and are just clowns. And like, I think there's, like, a lot of streams, right?
Kind of like what happened with Chris Lieben. Like, Chris Lieben was, like, the guy who was hella emotional. He was, like, always drunk. He, like...
Peed in someone's bed?
Yeah, peed in someone's bed. Like, did a bunch of outrageous
stuff. Was the person in the bed?
No, the person was not in the bed. But
did they go into the bed afterwards?
I think they did.
Oh, God.
And, like, he was just a crazy personality, so... He pulled that, you know, they were like, okay, well, let's give him a contract anyway, see if he can fight. And he could actually fight. When he was given a chance, he could actually fight. He was actually a good fighter. And I can't remember who else was on that season. Was Rashad Evans on that season?
I do not remember.
Okay. But the point being is that he became one of the biggest stars in the UFC. So, because of his goofy antics, right?
So, Reginald is the situation of the league?
No. But he's an actual good player. Like, I can't think of a player who is... just known for their antics and not their gameplay.
Gracchus.
The guy who did the Pro-Navy guys.
McLaren.
McLaren is only known for his antics.
I told you guys I played with McLaren, right?
Yeah, he trolled you.
Yeah, they played Follow the Leader targeting me.
Did he play Ashe?
No, he played Mordekaiser and Bill Doran's plays.
Nice.
Hate you, Mordekaiser players.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and...
The character doesn't exist anymore.
So we're about to end the show really quick. So but before we end the show, I want to go over what people have been playing... for the most part. We're going to start with Matt, and we're going to go ahead and end with Root. So, Matt, what have you been playing this week? Like, what's kind of your kick for this week?
Okay, well, switching to draft mode from, you know, being the biggest scrub ever, I like to first pick Caitlyn, because that character wins bottom lane. That's all you need to know about that.
Pretty true. Greg, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, God, I've been trolling so hard this week. So I've been playing a lot of AP Teemo.
That is true.
Not you know, like Rain Man attack speed build, like DFG, Death Caps, Rylize.
I was there.
I was going off. Jesus Christ, like, I think there's, like, I remember watching some EU game, like a tournament game, where the other team picked AP Teemo, and he, like, went off. He, like, got 20 stacks on Soulsteel in a tournament game because...
You get Lich Bane on that character, too, right?
Yeah, you get Lich Bane, and you just, like, you know, whatever map objective is important at the time. Early on, he was, you know, shrooming up Dragon. Later on, he was shrooming up Baron, and it just offered such strong control. Granted, like, I just try to troll the shit out of people, you know, bait as hard as I can, you know, run into the woods. So that's been my, like, kind of fun character, but... my like solid character is Kog'Maw. That character is just busted. I don't know how they even fix him. He's like, because there's nothing like kind of like broken about him other than the fact that his like design is broken.
So you just think as a character, he's just broken.
He gets a, his steroid is percentage based damage and increased range. Like what steroid is similar to that? There isn't like
percentage damage, Mazahar.
Okay, but I'm talking about on an AD carry.
Oh no!
Like the only thing
he is the most.
Vayne's, I guess, true damage is kind of her silver bullets, but other than that, I mean, he's the only character with an increased range steroid and a percentage based damage steroid, attack speed steroid built in, one of the best pokes in the game right now, and a huge AoE slow. Like, that character is just nuts.
Absolutely. I have currently been playing Yorick. Dyrus, this is a special shout out to you. Thank you very much for showing me how to build that character.
Shoveling people.
Seriously. So, I liked Yorick when he first came out. When the character first came out, he was underpowered. Yeah, I was like, this character is, like, fun to play, but this character's, like, his skill set is really fun. And it was like, oh, well, the character's bad right now, and he's underleveled, he's underpowered, but I still liked playing the character.
Underleveled was you, not
sorry,
the character.
Okay, sorry. The character was underleveled. The character was underpowered when he first came out. Then they buffed him, and he became kind of flavor of the week, and I played him then, and he was nuts because his E was insane. Now he's kind of like been in this spot where people are kind of playing him, but they don't necessarily play him. And I was watching one of Dyrus' stream, and I was like, I like this character. I don't know what to build on. And he started off, Dyrus started off the same way that I did, you know, because great minds think alike. And he started off building Mana, which is what I do with him as well. But the second item he built on him was Frozen Heart. And that item makes so much sense on him. With the cooldowns, with the 500 extra mana, like, it's like buffing your BF sword that you already have because of mana move. And the cooldowns are insane on him. And, like, those two items with cooldown boosts, like, whatever else you get is just gravy. So, I've been playing tons of Yorick.
Cooldown boots can't be correct.
I think
on
they
a melee DPS.
He spams ghouls so much, I'm pretty sure they're correct.
Or you can have merc trips.
Or you can have merc trips. Or you can have more ghouls out fighting.
Or you can just get blue buff.
Or you can have more ghouls out fighting.
You could blue pot.
You could blue pot. That's probably wrong. But Yorick is just super fun to play, and also I'm pretty sure Yorick beats Garen top lane. I don't know if it's an auto win, but it's a hard matchup for Garen because as often as Garen can break slow, Yorick can reapply slows and keep that distance as well as gain life with his E ghoul, and as well as put out a big burst damage hit with his Q ghoul. So I've been playing Yorick and that character's nuts and extremely fun to play.
Oh, also, the good thing about, or in my experience with that lane, when I was laning against him, once Yorick got tier, it became almost impossible for me to lane against him playing Garen. So I think that there is something to that matchup. However, I think if you harass Yorick really hard early on in lane by like a couple early ganks, I think Garen can offset that, but I do believe that's pretty close to a hard counter.
Yeah, absolutely. And go ahead, we're going to end it off with Rude. What have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Lee Sin, Caitlyn, Taric, Heimerdinger.
Heimer, you troll.
That's about it. I played some Niasis. Played some Niasis. Some Sion. I played some AD Sion.
AD really Sion. Now, everybody's been playing AP Sion, and you're trying to bring it back with AD Sion?
Well, my friend showed me your moves. He used to build AD Sion, and this is the reason he got nerfed, because we're playing against Shirelia and Coronach. And we're like, don't do it, dude. Don't play AD Sion. He picks AD Sion, and he goes like 23-0, and Shirelli is like, yeah, we're going to nerf him. So, I mean, AD Sion, like, he can lifesteal with his ult. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, one-on-one, he can probably beat maybe Jax. I'm not going to say Yi. But, I mean, Ryze.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ryze rapes Sion. I don't know. He can be built. If they build wrong, you can win, basically. But, yeah, I've just been playing ADs, ranged ADs, and supports, and messing around. Caitlyn's really overpowered, playing a lot of her.
That character's two and a half.
I hate that character.
Like, I honestly believe right now, Kog'Maw, Morgana, Lee Sin, are, like, the strongest characters in the game. Like, Soraka still, because I can't believe they didn't nerf her. It's ridiculous.
They buffed her. They're like, Q needs to be a nuke.
Yeah, and they buff Singed because everyone's QQing on the forums.
Nice.
There's like 57 threads made in the past week QQing about Singed, and then they buff him. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, and Masona, we didn't forget about you. Anybody you've been playing in particular this week?
Mid Jaina.
Oh, that's hot. I did that.
AP or AD?
I went hybrid one game, and it was really fun, but mainly AP.
Nice. All right, guys, so this is going to be the end of the episode. We're going to go ahead and end it out. Remember, you can always contact us at 25MINS2TO surrender@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at 25MTS. That's at Twitter. If anytime you log on to League, go join the 25MTS chat room. I'll be there. Team Sectocopter will be there. Not as bad as you will be there.
I will be there when Comcast decides to get their shit together.
Yeah, Greg, not as bad as you will be there. And you can follow us on Facebook. Look up for 25 Minutes to Surrender or 25, is it 25MTS or is it 25 Minutes to Surrender? I think it's 25 Minutes to Surrender. Google us. Google 25 Minutes to Surrender. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. And you can Gmail us. And remember, guys, the answer to all your questions in League of Legends is carry harder. All right, you have a great day.
Stupid lighter.
Hold on. Wait a second. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's the melody to Funky Town. Won't you take me down to Funky Town?
Two.
All right, so... really quick, before I go, I'm going to go pick up Gears of War 3. One of the things...
Ted Henske, everybody.
Pretty awesome, Ted Henske, number one gold rank player, look me up. is that, as far as, like, while we're talking about summoner spells, there's a bug right now. Teleport, if you use it with a cleanse, it'll immediately teleport you. So if you start teleporting, cleanse the teleport effect, it'll immediately teleport you. This also works with Quicksilver Sash and Citrus. So if you're playing...
What about Alistar ult?
Does that bring CC?
This works with Quicksilver Sash?
It works with Quicksilver Sash.
Yes. Why am I not playing a game right now?
I don't know. One of the things that's really big, Skarner, if you grab someone and then really quickly teleport and cleanse, you can pull them all the way to your Nexus. You have to teleport to a ward, so it's really hard to kind of like get the click on. Like if you mess it up, you've like completely messed up your play.
Also, you have teleport and cleanse.
Right, you also have teleport and cleanse. So you take
or teleport and Quicksilver Sash.
But here's the big one: is that I was thinking about the real like power of this is on Gangplank, especially like a jungle Gangplank. And when you're trying to be mobile, you gank top lane, and then you teleport Citrus to a ward at bottom lane, and you're immediately able to gank both lanes. I think there's a lot of power there. I think there's a lot of potential.
And you still get smite.
And it pro.
I'll let the fans decide.
Yeah, we noticed this bug first playing Draft Normals. There's just a Skarner top lane. We're like, A, it's a Skarner, so first
right,
we're
I'm
like...
I'm gonna go get drunk and kill some locusts.
Okay. We're like, A, it's a Skarner, so oh dear god. B, he has cleanse teleport. And then someone on the enemy team is like, you suck, dude.
Hey, fuck you, I love Skarner. Like, here's the best in the game. Number one.
And he's like, I can't believe you're doing this. And then the moment he hits level 6... he proceeds to ult teleport straight into the Nexus, and he pulls this poor, miserable Shen straight onto our Nexus turret, and he insta-dies, and he's like, this is ridiculous. He continued to do it every 250 seconds with a teleport mastery for the rest of the game. He just nailed him straight into the Nexus.
When I tried it, I fucked up a lot, so it's not, like, you need to, like, have a little bit of practice. However, if you're, like, the kind of player that's gonna, like, practice a bug, I don't know, you probably... need to reevaluate your priorities.
Let's just talk about Jamal's Karthus real quick. He's undefeated with Karthus when Karthus is broken.
No. I'm just good with Karthus.
Yeah, no, me and Jay Mazing...
Is this immortal?
Because I was just bugged out in my base.
Alright.
So I just had to know.
No, I was the guy that beat a bugged out Karthus, an invincible Karthus. I was on that team comp.
Hey, you're the best League of Legends player that's ever existed. Holy shit, I want to marry you.
It's fair. It's fair.
So, that was all drunk Hinsky people, everybody. Drunk Ted. Alright, so...
Ted Hinsky.
Wait, crazy Jay.
His address is 345-73 Berkeley, California.
You can find him at your mom's
94532. Area. Please mail.